Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
An effective ERP software selection is the first step to a successful digital transformation journey, but too often companies fail in their software selection efforts. And today we're going to talk about five of the biggest failures we've seen in the ERP selection process. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting, and I'm here with Brian Potts, the COO of Third Stage Consulting. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, Brian, you recently wrote a blog about the some of the biggest failures in software selection and some of the horror stories we've seen with organizations that have either rushed through a decision or made a bad decision or let biases get in the way, and you kind of outlined some of the case studies in that way. So why don't we walk through each of those one by one?
Yeah, and first, want to stress why this was done is we've blogged and talked a lot about how the concept of software selection is accelerating, how it is becoming a little bit easier. There's a lot of standards in place, but getting a proper selection is still critical to a successful transformation. You can't overlook it. There are steps you can take. There's, you know, accelerators and things that you can do to expedite it and make it easier, but it still needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So the first one that you mentioned in your blog is the midsize manufacturer that was going SAP all the way from the start. You want to tell us about that one?
Yeah, so specifically with this one, what happened is, and this is a common theme that we see, is you get an executive that had worked in a large organization, had used a previous, call it tier one software, and come in, worked well for them in the previous case, and just assumed that it's going to work for their new company. What was overlooked was the fact that this was a small, mid-sized business, and SAP, generally speaking, not all the time, but generally doesn't fit in that kind of a space, and this was the situation here. What they found was they simply couldn't afford it. The top SAP solution that they needed wasn't going to be a good fit, so they went with the Business One product, which is a very viable product, but it's a little bit more niche. It's for specific industries, and it doesn't bring the full capability of the ECC product. So what happened was they ended up purchasing the Business One, and it didn't do what they needed to. They made the assumption that it would do everything that they had, he had known SAP could do, but it didn't. They didn't do a proper evaluation of the capabilities of the software.
Right. So the biases were what led them down the path of sort of an unrealistic expectation that a lower cost version of SAP would do the same thing as the big ECC flagship product.
Yeah, and this is not a case just SAP. This was that particular example, but we see this across the board. You know, Microsoft, Oracle, Epicor. Any individuals, executives that have been in a previous organization tend to bring biases with them, either good or bad. And those need to be put aside when you're looking at a new software evaluation for a new environment.
Yeah, another one you mentioned in your blog is one that you and I worked on several years ago, a client we did a software selection for, our team did a software selection, and it was toward the end of the year as we were doing the evaluation and selection, and maybe tell us what happened there.
Yeah, so heading into the new year now, anybody who has recently been through a software evaluation understands that there's, quote, year-end discounts. Sometimes they're very enticing, and in this case, the client decided to bypass the remainder of a software selection process and actually just bought a software because it was priced right. So what we found, we got a call the day after New Year's, January 2nd, understanding that they had signed for software, and it turns out it wasn't the right software. It was one that they were looking at and one that was of potential interest, but it wasn't the right one. And several years later, they still had it sitting on their shelves and they had never implemented it. So a case of, we call it shelfware. If you've heard that term, it's where you purchase software and never use it. And it's common. It's unfortunately too common where you get excited about a new product, purchase it and hope it does everything. But the two things to consider is making sure it's the good fit and what you need. The second is it takes effort to implement. This organization, in addition to having the wrong software, was never ready to implement it. They didn't have any of their processes laid out. They didn't have an understanding of where they were going with their technology platform and roadmap.
Yeah, And you use the word enticing, which is exactly what happened with this particular CFO. And not to stereotype, but CFOs are more likely oftentimes to fall into this trap where they think, wow, this is a great deal. It's going to expire on X date, whether it's end of year, end of quarter, whatever it may be. And they end up pulling the trigger prematurely when they have no business, you know, buying the software. They're nowhere close to being ready for the implementation. Yep. And we see that more often than we'd like to admit.
Yep. But for you software salespeople, it does work. We're not telling you to do it, but
right.
Why not?
Yeah, just may not be in the client's best interest.
Right.
The other thing, too, along those lines is, have you seen a situation where a vendor has offered up some kind of steep end of year, end of quarter, end of month, whatever discount, and had them retract that because the period came and went?
You'll get the threats. Really what this comes down to is individual sales people's commission structure and incentives that they are getting. When it gets escalated across upwards in a software company, they want your business. They want you as a client. And remember that if you're not ready to pull the trigger. I don't think we've ever seen a case where ultimately a software has passed on a purchase and passed on a discount because, you know, a specific quarter, year, day, whatever passed.
Right. Yeah, I can remember a few times where you had a really steep discount offered by the vendor. We advised the client to wait or to keep negotiating or to wait until they're ready to sign the contracts. But I don't recall a situation where the discount was pulled off the table and they went back to retail price.
No, and that wouldn't make sense because what that does is it loses faith in the software vendor. I mean, if you make an offer, it you know, similar to a car dealership, if you go in and they've got a discount and they've made you this offer, so you have to come back by Thursday. You know, you come back Friday. If they don't offer it to you, you're not going to buy it. So it's the same with the software market. You've also got to be, you know, decent on your end. And if you're committed to a software and make a promise, you know, hold to it. But it's about trust and keeping relationships built.
Yeah. So the third one you mentioned in your blog is the yes, absolutely. Guarantee from a software vendor. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the general premise here is that software vendors obviously want your business. They want to continue working with you, and you know, once they're in, they consider that you know you're their client. So if you've heard the term hunters versus farmers in the sales world, that's once you're a client with a software vendor, they're going to stick you with a farmer. That's somebody that nurtures you, that you know, gives you a need and keeps you as their client and hopefully builds your relationship with them. So in a case where, in this case, it was a CRM software, it was working for them, doing what they needed. However, they found a need to replace their ERP. So they went to their CRM vendor to ask them, what should we do? You know, unknowingly got kind of trapped into a case where that particular vendor had acquired they called it an ERP. It wasn't even fully developed into their platform, pushed them onto it, and it never worked. I can't say it never worked, but it was very, very difficult. It was completely customized. It lacked financial linkage, and it didn't actually tie back to the CRM. So with, you know, no point in bringing that in if it didn't even talk to the initial software that they had.
Right. It certainly didn't meet their business requirements or the needs they had for the future.
No. Yeah. And there again, there was no evaluation done. So it was kind of taking the vendor's word, like, this is what you need. Okay, we'll buy it.
Right.
So that's not the way to do a software evaluation. It might actually be, in some cases, the right solution, but you should still evaluate, vet the gaps of what you need and what it can deliver.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because we get involved at various stages of an evaluation or an implementation. So a lot of times we come in after certain decisions have been made or a client has already headed down a certain path. So it's sometimes hard to undo that or to redirect them in a different direction.
Yeah. 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 There's a common thread that's coming from, you know, these few stories is bias. So you want to make sure that what you've experienced with a vendor in the past, that you take that with a grain of salt. If they're good to work with, that's very valuable, but consider that you're in a new situation. You've got new requirements and it doesn't necessarily transfer over.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
So the fourth one that you talk about in your article and blog is the easy fix, is what you called it. Yeah. And it was referring to the lease plan SAP failure. They recently tried to deploy SAP, spent a ton of money, didn't go well, ultimately led to a failure. And we wrote another blog and another video that talks about that in more detail. But in general, you know, lease plan is a car rental leasing company. And they went to implement SAP and found that the functionality they needed and wanted wasn't really there in SAP. So I guess the question for you is, you know, why do companies do this? You know, what are some of the common things you see CIOs, CEOs, other than the enticing discounts? What are some of the other things that lead people down these paths of choosing software that they shouldn't be implementing?
Yeah, a couple of things. The first is human nature, we're lazy. So if we see an easy fix, we're going to run towards it. You know, I had another recent blog about kind of the big bang, you know, all-in-one consulting approach. It's easy to run to somewhere and think, oh, they can do everything that we need. And that's what SAP essentially is, and they promote that. But it still needs to be evaluated. It does have holes. It does have gaps. Even the top tier one systems cannot do everything. So what happened here was they just made the assumption that, oh, we're very complex. We've got some very unique requirements. We must go SAP because SAP is known for handling big, complex environments. However, It simply wasn't a fit. There was, you know, customizations needed, things that didn't really fit their industry. So it turns out it wasn't, as we saw from a lawsuit, it was not the right fit. Nothing against SAP in this case, from my perspective, they just didn't do a software selection.
Right. Yeah, and even sometimes when they do a software selection or we as consultants give a recommendation, they don't always take that advice. Sometimes there's biases that still take the selection down a different path.
Yeah, the other thing is There's a sense at the C level that if we go SAP or we go with a big name that we're going to be okay. You know, if we go with an off the shelf tier two that nobody really knows, we might be a risk if it fails. However, if we buy SAP or Oracle or Microsoft, we're going to be okay no matter what. That kind of tendency gets a lot of people in trouble as well because it's just marketing.
Right. Speaking of marketing, you just triggered a thought or a memory of a client I had probably 15 years ago before, you know, we had our own company, and it was a company where they were looking at SAP versus Oracle, and I was on a team that was evaluating the two systems, and I remember we had made our recommendation, but ultimately, and I honestly don't recall what the recommendation was because at the end of the day it didn't matter because what happened was the SAP sales rep showed up, they did their song and dance in front of the executives, and they had an easel that was kind of covered up in front of the room where they're presenting. And they did their whole song and dance and left the easel covered. And then at the very end, they closed it with taking the client and putting it on an SAP runs client name. And they had kind of created a custom ad for that product. And you know, SAP does a lot of that cross advertising of all the companies that they run. And once they showed that, it was done. I mean, it was over. The executives loved the idea, and that's what sold it, was the idea that they could be on a billboard promoting SAP, and that was ultimately how they made the decision. So as much analysis and rigor you want to put into it and objectivity, a lot of times it becomes an emotional or ego-based decision at the end of the day. So the last one you mentioned in your blog is the medical device company that made the wrong decision during selection. Maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, so this one's fun because it stems out of the quote independent space. We've done a lot of blogs and articles on making sure your software selection consultant is actually independent. And we still see that in many times they're not. There's a lot of under the table dealings. There's a lot of backwards relationships that will lead to a decision. This is a case of a medical device manufacturer that had hired a consultant and was recommended Microsoft Dynamics. Now, this is nothing against Microsoft Dynamics, amazing product. However, this was a very small, mid-sized business going into their very first ERP. That's a fairly significant jump to move to, this was the AX product at the time. The second piece to consider is that they had no processes outlined. They really didn't know what their future state was going to look like. That's another red flag for a product such as Dynamics, which is extremely flexible, and it's kind of like giving somebody a bowl of jelly. Just do with it whatever you want, but you got to know what you want to make it into. So all around, it was the not a good selection, and you know what they learned after the fact was that the selection consultant was incented to recommend Microsoft Dynamics. The other piece of that is we talk a lot about the importance of system integrator selection. The system integrator in this case was not best aligned for their industry. Now, with Microsoft, it's not really known for the medical device arena, but there are some IP resellers that have built beyond there that can really do some good work in the medical device and manufacturing space. However, one of those wasn't chosen for this, again, due to some pre-existing relationships. So it's just a caution to make sure you know who you're dealing with. Hire somebody who truly is independent and working in your best interest.
Yeah, and also looking for the right system integrator too. You know, just using the software is one piece of it.
Yeah, that can't be understressed.
Yeah, so in these five case studies, you talk about a number of different reasons why companies ended up as one of the worst ERP selections of all time that we've ever seen. What are some of the common themes that you're seeing here in these five case studies and just in general with our software selection engagements with clients? What are the, you know, we talk about bias, irrational decision making. What are some of the things that you would
add? Well, I mean, we've kind of nailed them. I mean, the first is bias, is making sure you temper that and understanding bias, especially at the executive level, because executives kind of, you know, lead decisions a lot of times. So that needs to be tempered, and that's another reason to use third-party independent advice when you're making a decision and really go through a thorough analysis. You know, another is, you mentioned irrational decisions. So the people want to get this done quickly. There's an urgency and a need. When you decide you need a new software, you want to jump in, you want it in, you want it working now. That's not a reason to jump to a decision, because if it's the wrong decision, it's never going to happen. So just do the, you can accelerate software selection. You can, you know, hire, you know, I know some people that do software selections. You can hire some help and get it done fairly efficiently. However, make sure you go through that analysis and not just jump the gun. You know, don't make a last minute decision because you're given a New Year's deal or whatnot. You know, other trends are, we talked about making sure that you know who you're working with. You know, hiring one of the big five, for example, to select your software, it can be a dangerous road. They do support multiple solutions, but ultimately they're biased and they're incented differently across the different platforms at different times. So SAP might be given a different incentive at different times than Oracle, than Microsoft. Just be aware of who you're dealing with, and especially in the quote independent space, not everybody's independent.
Right. That's great closing advice. And of course, companies like Third Stage are truly independent, and we have a broad view of the marketplace that helps clients get to that right decision for their organizations. Yep. Great. Well, thanks for being with us here today, Brian. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And if you'd like to learn more about software selection, digital transformation, implementation, best practices, whatever it may be, I encourage you to like and subscribe to my channel. You can also download a number of materials that I've included links to below that'll help you on your digital transformation and ERP journey. So I hope you found this information useful and have a great day.
Take care.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.